I'm not speaking out of the Torah section today, but out of the Haftarah, out of the book of Malachi. And the title of my message is Redeeming a Fatherless Generation. And we are in a fatherless generation at this time. Malachi is the last of the prophets who prophesied before the birth of Yeshua HaMashiach. The name Malachi actually means messenger, and he is the last prophet to prophesy in a time where there was so much Torahlessness with the Jews. There was idolatry, superstition, dishonor for the house of Yehovah, to name a few. Malachi chastises them from their sins and tells them of Yehovah's judgment. He lets them know that prophecy was going to cease. And he was sent to remind the Jews of the time about the Torah of Moshe, which they were going against instead of observing it. He was trying to instruct them on how to position themselves spiritually before Yeshua came, because they were looking for him. They were looking for the Messiah. And he was trying to get them right with Yehovah. The prophet Malachi is burdened about the situation of the time. And it's no different to what is in the state of Israel to this very day, and even to the Jews in the diaspora who don't follow the Torah. As you know, most follow the Talmud. And it was really amazing, thinking of the Talmud, as that I took a screenshot today of something out of the Talmud that shows there were 8 different sexes in the Talmud. So it's no different to what we've got today. The Talmud tells you there's 8 different sexes. I'm not going to read them to you now. But it's there. So what we're experiencing in this world is no different to when the Talmud was written in 300 of this current era, but then it's been added to year after year anyway. Now, in the book of Malachi, it speaks about the Torahless practices, and it has, to me, a bearing on the Messianic community and believers today. As the Jews during the time of the prophet Malachi were waiting for the Messiah to come to the earth, and we're waiting for his second coming back to the earth. But even in the days of Malachi, the Jews fell into Torahlessness. Today, the world, I believe, has fallen into a deeper chaos, especially since October the 7th. What was happening at the time of Malachi was delinquent behaviour, lack of tithing, divorce, selfishness, pride and arrogance, and thinking that Yehovah caused the world's problems. I don't think so. Today, the behaviour is much worse, with barbaric slayings, cancel culture, misinformation and disinformation rife throughout mainstream media, the righteous being prevented from worshipping, while the anti-Semites pour through the streets of cities throughout the world in hundreds of thousands protesting against Yehovah's people. But don't think they will stop there. Their mantra is first the Jews, then the infidels, which means to all those who do not bow the knee to Allah. So you say, oh, well, I'm not a Jew, I'm a Christian, or I'm not, you know, doesn't matter, the Christians are going to be targeted. Those that don't believe in anything are going to be targeted. If you won't bow the knee to Allah, you're an infidel. And they want the world. That's their agenda at this moment. And this is why I wanted to speak on the book of Malachi, because I see what's happening today is the same as why Malachi prophesied in his writings. The spiritual principle in this book speaks about blessings and curses in the land. It is relative to relationships with children and with fathers. Our Abba Father, Yehovah Elohim, is the parent of all. He gives a promise of reconciliation because as a father, he will bridge the generation of the fatherless. For this reason, the thrust of my message is called, as I said, a fatherless generation, or you might want to call it spiritual orphans. And this is how it looks. The first sign is unknowledgeable love. Can we go to slide 2, please? In Malachi 1 and verse 2, it says, I love you, says Yehovah, but you ask, how do you show us your love? And Yehovah answers, Esav was Yaakov's brother, yet I loved Yaakov. Many people, even young people, don't know how to receive love because of the rejection that has happened in their lives. People don't trust one another because of the hurts and the abuse that they have faced in their lives. So when Yehovah tries to love us, we often lack the faith to believe him completely as well. We lose the ability to trust and then cannot let our own feelings of rejection or lack of trust in human nature allow us to trust Yehovah completely. Some can trust him in small things, but not in the big life-changing things. Let me assure you, this trust does not come easily, especially if you've depended on your own strength and tried to be in control of every situation that you are in. It does take courage and it takes time to trust to be worked out in our lives. And this is why Yeshua said in Matthew chapter 8, in chapter 18, verses 1 to 4. At that moment, the Talmudim came to Yeshua and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a child to him and stood among them and said, yes, I tell you that unless you change and become like little children, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. So the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, whoever makes himself as humble as this child. A child has complete trust in his or her father, usually, unless they've been abused in some way by that father. And most of you have heard the parable of the broken toy, but I'm going to repeat it again for those who haven't. It's a parable that I made up. It's what I call my parable of the broken toy. It is something that we all need to be reminded of. If a child has a broken toy, a child will give the toy to the father and wait patiently until it's been fixed. And when the father returns the toy to the child, he says, thank you, Daddy, and goes off and plays with it. As adults, we have something broken in our lives, and we go to give it to Abba Father, and before he has a child to fix it, we've grabbed it off him, get your hands off, I'm working on this, and it doesn't get fixed. So we give it to him again. And before he's had time to fix it, we go, mine. And he still hasn't fixed it. But he wants us to have that trust of a small child. He wants us to be like little children and see him as someone, if whatever we ask for, we will receive it. That's his promise. He wants us to wait patiently until he fixes our problem and then returns it to us. Now, this problem mightn't be fixed overnight. It mightn't be fixed in a day. It mightn't be fixed in a year. But the point is that as we look back on our life, we can see how Yah was working through it. And through that situation, he did fix it, might be not the way we wanted it, but he did fix it, and we didn't have to give it up to him again because we had gone through that situation and he had given us the strength to cope. It not may, may not be the way most humans seem to think, that Yah wants to fix things, but Yah has better things in mind for each and every one of us. His wisdom far surpasses ours, and we have to look and search for his wisdom and his way out of things. So we need to go to the scriptures and look to see what he wants us to do in that situation. But we can only do that if we allow him to take control. But the most important thing, let go of what's up here and let him take control. Yes, we can search scriptures and he will give us an answer. Maybe he'll give us a person that will come across our path and show us how we can resolve that situation. He will show us different ways to resolve our situation, but we can't take it back. When we give him something, we have to let go and let him take control. The second sign of spiritual orphan is to dishonour an authoritative figure. Especially in this day, children are taught to speak their mind, regardless of the authority or even the age of the person. I see it in my grandchildren daily. In my era, children were seen and not heard. When my father said jump, we would say how high. But it's the complete opposite today. But I wouldn't want my grandchildren to go through what I went through as a child, ever. As we were not taught the fundamentals of being given the permission to think for ourselves. But I do believe the respect of others has gone out in this selfie generation. It's a selfie mentality of today's youth, that if they think that they can walk to the shops while you're waiting to pick them up from school, they'll walk to the shops and they'll come when they're ready. And I'm still waiting to pick them up from school. Just one of them. The other one's always there waiting, and he waits patiently with me. But that's what children are like. Even today, teachers, parents, police officers, when I was young, were always shown respect. None of this is apparent in the world at the moment, especially as we see police fearful of stopping those in the anti-Semitic rallies that are around worldwide. Teachers don't have the right to be able to discipline in the classroom. And the discipline that is dished out isn't discipline at all. And this is why learning is going downhill. Because there's so much problems within a classroom, so much disruption, so many children that are preventing those who want to learn from learning, and the teacher tied up with having to spend time fixing disputes and things like that rather than being able to teach, apart from all the extra work that's been thrown at them. So today's world is different. Police officers can't stay in their job. They're being killed for doing their job. In all states. And it continues. In Malachi 1 and verse 6 it says, a son honours his father and a servant his master. But if I'm a father, where is the honour due to me? And if I'm a master, where is respect due to me? Says Yehovah Zevaot. To you, Kohanim, who despise my name. You ask, how are we despising your name? This is being spoken to priests, Kohanim, who are despising Yehovah's name. And it's no different to this generation that we have today. Very few people will listen to those in authority. The prophet Malachi is speaking here, as I said, to Kohanim, who are not showing respect to Abba Father. And there is so much rebellion and disrespect for authority figures in our world today. This generation is arguing all the time, wanting to have the last say. They disagree with everything because they want to be heard with the last say. And there is difficulty in accepting and submitting to authority, whether it's in the home, the school, the workplace, and even in ministry and in the Messianic community. Children are arguing and refusing to obey parents, even out of respect. And there is much murmuring and challenging of leadership, no matter where the leadership comes within the young people and their lives. It is so difficult because of what children are taught in universities today. They're taught to teach their parents how to become socialists. So different to when I went to university. The third sign of spiritual orphanage is having distorted values. I know I'm going further than our readings, but I believe this is just as important for your growth and maturity as believers. In Malachi 3:18, it says, "Then once again you will see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between the person who serves Yehovah and the one who doesn't serve him." And this is when people lose their value of principles, where bad becomes good and good becomes bad. Sound familiar? People get away with evil, and this is where the globalists of our world today is evident. It is where the 3-4% of mankind is dictating the language and non-scriptural aspects of life to the rest of the 96-97%. By denying speech, demanding their preferred pronouns, and refusing to listen to logic or reason because of their own agenda. So what is accepted in standards of living today is not according to Yehovah's word. For example, in many countries, including Australia, it is socially acceptable not to marry because marriage and divorce can get expensive. In Australia, I believe that after 3 years of living together, you can claim your rights of a married couple, including be required to pay spousal or child maintenance should you split. You don't? 6 months now. Truly. Hadn't heard that one. I knew it was a few years, but it's gone back to 6 months. But you've hardly formed a relationship in 6 months. It's getting worse than what I thought. And of course, same-sex marriage was brought in, but not, they said it was brought in but with by a plebiscite. But it was a vote that I'm sure that it was rigged. And I'm pleased, you know, that it's just rife with what they're doing in that area. There is no covenant involved, but maybe a commitment for as long as the commitment is there. And that is completely against Torah. The fourth sign of a spiritual orphan is robbing Yehovah. Malachi 3 and verse 8 says, "Can a person rob Yehovah? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how have we robbed you? In tents and voluntary contributions." You all know I don't like preaching on tithing, as I believe Abba will speak to you in regard to your offerings. Yes, we do mention a free will offering, and that there is a box up the back and an FPOS machine if you want to give us a free will offering, as everything done here is done by volunteers. No one gets paid for anything. And so, but it's between you and Yah when it comes to your offering. If you want to offer your tenth, or you want to offer less than a tenth, or you want to offer more than a tenth, that's up to you. It's completely between you and Yah. We have never, in 25 years, not been able to pay a bill. And we have thousands of dollars in insurance expenses every year. But we've had equipment go down and we've been able to replace the equipment. Yah supplies. So we leave it to everyone's conscience in that respect. Even though it says in verse 9 of chapter 3, "A curse is on you, on your whole nation, because you rob me." Our generosity reveals our relationship with Yehovah. Our attitude shows our heart towards Yehovah. A fatherless generation has no sense of security and are afraid to trust. I always believe that if you give to Yehovah, you will get a hundredfold in blessing from him. But if you steal from him by not honoring him with his entitlement, you will not receive the blessings that you are entitled to receive had you blessed. And this is a spiritual principle. We cannot change it. I have proven it myself thousands of times over in my own personal life, especially when I was working and I gave above and beyond when I was in full-time work. And now that Malachi and I live on an age pension, we are never without. We eat well, we can buy all our necessities, and we can still pay our utility bills and everything else, and we can still afford private health, even though that's over $5,000 a year. But Yah is in control because he's provided. We gave when we had the money, above and beyond. Someone needed new cars, new tyres on their car, I'd say, here, go and buy four new tyres. Someone needed their engine fixed, here, send me the bill. That's what I would do when I was working, when I was a single lady too, before I met Malachi. But that's what I would do. Yah blessed us. I was able to bless and he's blessed us back. The fifth sign of being a spiritual orphan is the burden of religion. Let me assure you, as believers, we are not bound by religion or religious doctrine. We have to be careful not to confuse religiosity with faith and obedience to Yehovah's Torah. Not the word of mankind to satisfy some doctrine of a so-called specific faith. People can religiously follow football or the horses and make bets on them as they win, as to who will win, and this can be religiosity. They follow their pagan gods and put them before the one true living Yah. In Malachi 3 and verse 14 it says, by saying there is no point in serving Yehovah, what good is it to obey his orders or to walk about as mourners before Yehovah Tzevaot? Religion and serving Yehovah become a burden to some people, and we need to be careful that we need not become bound in religiosity. Faith and a relationship with Yah and Yeshua HaMashiach to some is also burdensome. To them it's troublesome to serve Yah according to his Torah, to commit and give time to Yah, to live and eat according to what is appropriate to that specific person, knowing that it changes as life and situations change. And that is why the Messianic communities don't grow like the Book of Acts Messianic communities did. I'm not asking you to sell everything up and live in one community as they did in the Book of Acts, but we must stay true to Yehovah's Torah and not to the traditions of mankind. Many families are caught up with so many distractions today. Some are forced to work, which is not a problem, as we are not in the Holy Land and they have to work on Shabbat. But they can take the service online if they choose later on. But more often than not, they don't. Sport commitments for children and adults, leisure time with family, house cleaning and grocery shopping for all those who work long hours during the week, the list can be endless. And they find that burdensome. It is all a matter of priorities and whether they want to be Torah observant or not. When you're Torah observant, it means you are ready to be Torah observant. If you don't want to be, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that because you're not meant to be here. But if you want to be, we'll be here, we'll be there to help you, we'll guide you and direct you. But it's your choice of what you do and how you do it. It can also become burdensome when we come to services or serve Yah out of duty rather than out of love. If you ask more, there will be more complaints. Serving Yehovah becomes a performance trap as a relationship with Yehovah has grown cold. I truly believe that we need to take on the character of Yehovah to be able to serve him fully. So let us look at Yehovah's character. It's the character of a father. In Malachi 1, verse 2a, it says, I love you, says Yehovah. So all we've got to do is love. I love you, says Yehovah. Yehovah is love. The verse declares a continuity. Yehovah has loved humanity since the day of creation. His love never ends. His love gives us hope. But sin has separated man from Yehovah and brought orphans into the world. He will always give his children the chance to turn to him before judgment. A father does not change his love for his children. It is always consistent. He may not like what they say or what they do or even the path of life they choose. And I've got grandchildren in the gay community. I still love them. Don't mean I approve of what they're doing or how they live. Yehovah's love remains constant, just as my love remains constant for my children and my grandchildren. The Father's promises are very important. Before the end comes, Yehovah will redeem his children. He will heal the spirit of the fatherless. In Malachi 4 and verses 4 and 5, it says, Remember the Torah of Moshe my servant, which I enjoined on him at Horeb, laws and rulings for all Israel. Look, I will send to you Eliyahu the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of Yehovah. Two people are referred to here. One, Moshe, which relates to the Torah, and second, Eliyahu, or Elijah, relates to the coming of Yeshua. Because these two prophets were seen at the Mount of Transfiguration by Yeshua and his Talmudim. They were both there. Yehovah's love is what is most important. Before the giving of Torah was love. Before the Torah, Yah showed his love to his people through Moshe. He was commissioned to deliver his people from slavery and bondage. He did everything in his power to set his people free. That was love before the Torah was even given. Yehovah did what not have to say. I'll get that out. Yehovah did not say to do this first, and then if you deserve it, I will love you. He didn't say that, never. He loved us first. No, it is I love you first. I saved you by giving you a way out because of my legitimate children. It is something that I thank Yah for daily in my daily prayer because I have four sections in my daily prayer of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. In my thanksgiving part, I thank him that he first loved me before I loved him. If he hadn't have loved me first, he wouldn't have chosen me to be one of his children. Even though I was born a Jew, that doesn't mean my lifestyle would have followed Yeshua HaMashiach. In fact, I'm the only one that's the black sheep. But that's the way life is. In Romans 8:15, For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to bring you back again into fear. On the contrary, you received the Ruach, who makes us sons, and by whose power we cry out, Abba, that is, dear Father. Like a father who spares his son from his wrong, Abba spares us because we are his treasured possession. It is a sad state that our sins separate us from a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Without that relationship, the whole generation will suffer the fatherless syndrome. The power of sin brought death to that relationship that our Heavenly Abba so longs to return back to its original place. He knows that without his love, the world is going to self-destruct and disintegrate. We can see it coming as we live in this immoral world of this current age. Abba has to love humanity first before we can love him. How can we give love if we don't receive love? How can you, Yah, show his love when there is a distance created by Adam's first sin? How can Yehovah's love become intimate because sin was created a distance between him and us? The distance made us prodigal children or orphans, people without parents. It is the issue of the space. His relationship lost that intimacy that becomes a formal relationship. Remember that the relationship is not measured by distance or miles, but by affection. I've got grandchildren and children that live in Sydney and in Melbourne. We still love each other very much. Our closeness with the person is determined by how affectionate you are with him or her. Adam's sin lost the privilege of affection with his heavenly other. Sin withdrew that affection and entered into space of formality. For example, if you want to visit a high official, such as the Prime Minister of this country, I'm not too sure many of us do, there are rules and protocols that we have to follow to be given that meeting. And I don't think you or I are best friends with that person, so we could just walk into Kirribilli House. But we have to fill out forms and see many departments before an audience with the Prime Minister is allowed. But that was what the man had to do in the Tanakh. Yehovah established laws and rules to govern that space between himself and man. He cannot identify with man as one because man have become sinners. Sin separates us from Yah. Laws also have legal contents. But sadly, we will never be able to meet the standard of Yehovah's Torah. We are not good enough. Our sinful nature will always bring down that standard of excellence. Yah can never depend on our righteousness to earn the place of intimacy. It will keep on breaking down because we are human. We do the wrong thing. There was only ever one perfect man that could redeem the fatherless. It will take the love of Yehovah to restore the original intimacy of I have loved you. Only one man can satisfy the legal requirement of Yehovah's Torah. Only one man can obey him 100%. The only one man will not fail. Only one man will offer his life and give up everything for the sake of obedience. If he does it, then all these fatherless generations from the past, the present, and the future will no longer be fatherless. Everything will go back to the original scoreboard, because everyone associated with this one man will be redeemed and restored into the Father's house. Judgment will not be made upon the individual moral uprightness of each individual, but on the standing and standards of this one man. And you know who he is, don't you? It's Yeshua HaMashiach. Not only will the fatherless generation be restored to Adam's former level, but they will be taken to a new level because the covenant we made through Yeshua is better. How do I know? Because Yeshua is a better promise. Even if a child messes up and does offensive things that don't add up to the father's standard, Yah does not look at that child, but looks at that one man, Yeshua. A child, before it comes to the age of understanding, which is regarded about 13 years of age, is exonerated from its sins in Yehovah's eyes and will go straight to be with Yeshua. Yeshua is their provider, their defender, their advocate, their intercessor, their mediator. And I'm going to look at Yeshua because he will perfect the child's life. And that's what we have to do. Even though the brain is not fully developed until approximately 25 years of age, from the ages of 13 to 25, when my era, when I was back at 13 to 25 in the 50s and the 60s, we were classed as youth. Because a youth, even to the age of 25, his brain still didn't know the result of fear. They didn't know what fear was, and they still don't. And therefore, they were really not answerable to their sins. To me, it is sad that an 18-year-old is classed as an adult when they have to go to war. They have to vote. And yet their brains are still not fully developed enough to make decisions required of adults. And they want to lower this voting age to 16. It is so wrong. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, it says, Yehovah made this sinless man be a sin offering on our behalf, so that in union with him we might fully share in Yehovah's righteousness. When Yeshua died, the veil of the temple was torn, and that means that this is the end of man's separation from Yehovah. All mankind now has access to the Holy of Holies. Before that temple, that curtain was rent, only the Kohen HaGadol could enter into the Holy of Holies in the temple on Mount Moriah. But once Yeshua was crucified, temple was rent, then anyone could enter. And of course we know that just 50 days later, the Ruach HaKodesh was given to hundreds on that day of Pentecost or Shavuot. All mankind can receive a birth certificate with a legitimate father and not be fatherless anymore because of Yeshua. There is no need to be estranged anymore. Just draw near to Yehovah, our Abba Father, through his perfect Son, Yeshua. For Yeshua's sake, Yehovah the Father does what he must do. For Yeshua's sake, he loves me just as much as he loves his only begotten Son and gave him up as a ransom for us. And that is why there is only one way and only one truth. Yeshua says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, keeps asking, receives. And he who keeps seeking finds. And he who keeps knocking, the door will be opened. Yeshua is a complete gentleman. He will not force himself upon you or ask for him to open the door of your heart. Then you can enter inside the palace of the king. Yeshua is saying, I am the connection. As long as you are with me, you are going to be okay. Come and follow him by being connected to Yeshua through a Torah observant messianic community. And we will go and look for abundant blessing, healing and promise that is now in him. And I know that there are many who are still struggling with pain, physical and spiritual, confusion and shame, and you are still accepted because you are no longer fatherless, because you are his beloved. So you who are in need, you are struggling or in pain or feel desperate in your situation, come boldly to the throne of grace. Not judgment, not rejection, so that you will find help, love, protection, and abundance in a time of your need. We are all in need, but Yehovah will meet all our needs because we have satisfied all the formal requirements in Yeshua HaMashiach. Yehovah is our beloved Father, and we are his children. We are joint heirs with Yeshua. In Yeshua, we are sons and daughters, not orphans. We can find refuge, providence, and defence in him. We should not be fearful or insecure about our shame or our future. He will give us a new hope for the new future. And we are coming into the time of the Feast of Dedication. And if you've been immersed, or you want to, if you've not been immersed and you want to rededicate your life to Yeshua and into observing the Torah of Yehovah, as I said earlier today, we're holding immersions during the Feast of Dedication during this biblical month. So please let me know so that we can arrange it for you. That'll be held on the 16th of December, just at the Broadwater Parklands at the swimming enclosure. We do it in the enclosure because it's getting late at night and that's when the sharks like coming around. Also, it's living water. It's moving water. It's not a stagnant pool. You are being immersed into a living water. So if there's any questions on what I've just spoken about, please feel free to come and ask. No questions? You're all fine with that? Okay, we'll move to the remembrance service.